When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey pals, and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex in the City Rewind podcast.
Where Sex in the City super fans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today, Sex in the City. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts, and we have a doozy for you, I think. Kind of middling. Not as good as the last one.
You know, I think the biggest thing about this episode is just confirms how much of a garbage person Carrie is. I just saw where Vulture ranked this. You didn't like this as much as the big time?
I think this one propels the whole show into the full true meaning of what the show is. So for that, it... And so now I'm taking cues from you. This is how I always am with the Vulture list.
Because you saw my face, I'm like, oh!
Okay, so there are parts of this, like, I don't think any of the supporting characters get much in this one, to be honest with you. It should have only been about Carrie and Big and Aiden. That's all I needed for this episode, because... Like, truth be told, who gives a shit about any of these other subplots? Who cares that Adam Ball has funky spunk? Like, who the fuck cares about that?
I liked that storyline.
I
thought it was funny.
But there's nothing, it's not plot driven at all.
Did your week mirror easy come, easy go? Did you have just funky spunk
exactly,
thrown at you?
Exactly. Like, I tasted so much funky spunk this week that, and I was like dropping pineapple, like getting everyone to drink some pineapple juice with me. And no, my week did not mirror this one. There's one thing that my life mirrored.
What?
Searching for an apartment in a big city with a limited budget.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Oh my gosh, I've been there. Like we lived in Vancouver for 3 years.
That's where your money does not go far.
Oh my gosh, we had 5 different apartments, and they weren't even apartments. Like some of them were just rooms other apartments. So we had 5 different apartments five different apartments in 3 years. So we lived in 2 apartments.
It's
so
just one survival at that point.
Oh, yeah. So we lived one in like deep East Village. Oh. Or not East Village, but East Van.
That's not good.
Like by like the docks off like Dundas, Wall Street.
That sounds like it's like basically like street urchins would live there.
It was a nice apartment. It was a nice apartment. It was like a friend of Stafford who was an actor, but we had to take the bus through East Hastings if you live in Vancouver. Yeah, it's like the Tenderloin.
It's like the Tenderloin. It's very much like the Tenderloin where you need to watch your step for human shit.
And needles.
And more.
Oh God. It's hard.
If that's a poop on the ground, it's probably human.
So. And then we lived in an apartment on Commercial, but no, it was a room in a house.
Well, that sounds nicer.
I lived in a room in a house with French doors that would like shake at night, and I was so scared I was going to get broken into.
Oh my God.
Like I didn't sleep.
God.
And then we shared a place with my little brother, which was actually really fun because I love my little brother.
That sounds fun. Yes.
In Dunbar Heights. If anyone knows where that is, it's closer to the Endowment Lands. And then Stafford and I moved into a studio.
That's the best yet.
This studio was ridiculous. It was like a mini fridge and a bed. That was it. And we had like a toilet.
It was tenement.
I think we paid $1,200. This would have been...
Like 15 years ago?
Yeah, 15 years ago. We paid
$1,200. Oh, it was like that makes me so stressed out.
300 square feet. So that was our fourth. And then our last one, we sublet from our friend. And it was the best. It was West, First, and Vine. I'm sorry, I'm giving you all my rundown of my memories. And it was this beautiful mid-century modern apartment, 2-bedroom. We had a roommate. And because we sublet, And she'd been there for like 8 years. It was only like 14.
Almost like rent control. Almost like rent control.
It was we paid her $1,400 a month.
When my friend and Natalie and I moved to Toronto in 1998, 97, yeah. It was like one of those moments when there was nothing. There was like almost like 0.03% vacancy rate. Like it was impossible to find a place. And we went, do you know Toronto at all? Do you know High Park? It's a beautiful area. And we were trying to find like something like around High Park and all these like scenic areas. And there was this basement suite for rent. There was a lineup out the door of like women, like on cell phones, like people with clipboards, like walking around with like headset. Like it was like this scene. Like I was like, what the fuck are we walking into? First of all, we're never going to get this place. We viewed it. It was what Steve's place was like.
But it was like a murder apartment.
It was a murder apartment, like blood on the wall. There were like, there was nothing there. I don't even think there was a kitchen. It was just an unfinished concrete room. In a basement.
Where did you guys end up finding
a 200-year-old house?
Where did you guys end up living?
This is funny. So we ended up living on the opposite end of the city on near the beaches, kind of in Toronto. And we had the most fabulous like post-war building. It was gorgeous, like parquet hardwood floor, all totally renovated. Like I didn't even know how we found this. But crazy. It was funny because I had asked my mom's friend, we were staying with her for the first 2 weeks that we were living there. I'm like, do you want to come look at this apartment with me? And she's like, I think you can do it. You're an adult. And I'm like, I'm not. I was like, Steve.
I know. Why would Steve ask his ex-girlfriend to come?
Because he's not an adult.
Oh, Beans agrees.
Beans agrees.
Anyways,
Beans like
yeah.
75 in human years. So
she's like, get off my lawn.
Just curmudgeon. You kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't pee on my lawn. One time I was walking her and she's a girl. So she like rounds her back to pee. Mm-hmm. And like someone knocked on their window at me. And I was like, my dog's peeing. Like, what do you want me to do? She's not shitting. And I carry poo bags. I think because there's a neighborhood
diaper.
Dog poo lever.
Oh, yeah.
What? So you said neighborhood diaper?
No, just get her a diaper.
Diaper. That's the solution.
So we watched Easy Come, Easy Go.
Yeah.
Season 3, episode 9.
Yep. Do you want me to read the synopsis?
Read the synopsis. I think it's going to send me into real topsy-turvy state of mind.
Now that Miranda and Steve have fallen out of love over parenthood, they painstakingly live apart in the same flat. At Aiden Shaw's design fair, Carrie bumps into Mr. and Mrs. Big. Ooh. Later, a drunken Big blurts out to Carrie that he not only wants a divorce, but also wants her back. Then when Aiden generously starts improving her apartment, the noise drives her to a hotel. Because Aiden's like, I'll fix your apartment. And she's like,
and his outfit, his getup?
Yeah, but she's like, I'm bothered. And he's like, fixing her apartment. Anyways, Charlotte is convinced
Trey's ready. He was forcing that. I think that was like she did not give two fucks about those floors, and he was forcing that on her. And I would have run out of there and had an affair, too, if I had seen that scene.
It seemed ungrateful to me. Charlotte is convinced Trey is ready to propose and is presented to his mother, Bunny McDougal. Look, if Carrie didn't want to be with Aiden, she should break up with him. She should not cheat on him with Big.
I agree. Like, who cares? Just break up with Aiden. Like,
exactly. Don't string him along. It's so shitty.
She knows she's not going to get Big either.
Ugh, it's just so shitty. Okay, anyways, Trey's ready. Charlotte's convinced Trey is ready to propose and is presented to his mother, Bunny McDougal. Yeah. She seems to control him masterfully, which is also kind of gross.
And
later,
so
Charlotte uses Bunny's sleeve rubbing technique and makes him thoughtlessly accept a wedding proposal by her. Ugh, she instantly regrets it because it lacks the romance she desires.
Of course.
Yeah. Sam likes giving blowjobs because he probably didn't fully consent to it. But her present lover, Adam Balls, sperm tastes really bad. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, I don't even think we really have to go through. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Miranda bursts onto the scene, opening shot with a new razor cut. Remember the razor cut?
Oh,
her hair. The Paige Davis.
Okay, wait. Before we go there, where do you think it's ranked in Vulture?
Oh, well, by your reaction, I saw your eyes jump out of your head. 20?
Ah!
20?
It's 13th.
No, really? Well, I think it's important. I don't think it's like necessarily the greatest, most memorable episode.
They say it's a perfect Sex in the City half hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They say that Charlotte's story shines like a Tiffany engagement ring.
I remember this arm thing a lot. I remember that scenario more than all the other things here. Well, and I also remember this terrible design fair where Big spends like 4 hours and gets drunk at this design show and carries like so on the weird. Ground. And like, it's just so strange. And,
yeah.
And Aiden's furniture design is so underwhelming that it's like this like Urban Barn mission style furniture that he's handcrafting. I think you Natasha like it. Says it right. She's like, this is clunky.
Ooh. Ooh, snap.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I said, Miranda's hair is weird and spiky and the red is so harsh.
It just, everything that was good about the hair in the last episode, it's the complete opposite in this episode. Like
she
everyone
is
has
being
bad hair.
Punished.
She is
Someone
being punished.
Does not like her.
I think everyone hated her on set because how they style, like, I mean, she'll get glimpses of something good and they'll take it right away. They'll be like, you think you're going to get good styling? Think again.
Joke's on you.
Joke's on you. Ha ha ha. Break out a razor and just hack, 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 hack.
Yeah, it's bad. Like it's shocking enough that I made a note of it. Cause I was like,
But you know what I can't wait for? 6:30 a.m. daylight. Remember summer? And remember waking up at 6:30 in the morning for some reason?
And it's so
and
bright.
And it's bright. And there's sun in your eyes. And Steve's still sleeping with fully dressed on a couch.
Yeah. What happens to this puppy? Does this puppy stay? Or does Steve just leave it in a dumpster?
They euthanize him. Could you imagine? I think the writers forgot about this puppy after like two more episodes.
Right?
There's no
it's
puppy.
It's just kind of... No, the puppy disappeared. Like, let's clock it for the next episode to be like, is the puppy still around? Because...
Can I just say something that I forgot to say in the last episode?
Uh-huh.
When they were talking about having a baby together, they're like, Steve's like, we're going to have the cutest babies. And I'm like, Brady? Fast forward 20 years, guys. You will be sorely disappointed.
It's true.
You birthed a monster.
Aw, that poor actor. He's like, let's find the weirdest looking redheaded. Ah, found him. So
he's definitely not breaking out as a star. Like, it's all he's got.
He hasn't done anything since. Should I check?
Like, he's no Jacob
Elrodi.
He's so famous.
Elrodi. Is that how you say his name?
Elcardi?
Elrodi?
Elrodi?
The super tall guy from Euphoria. That's who you mean, right?
With the chin like a Kyle MacLachlan. He's like inherited Kyle MacLachlan's chin.
Like the actor who plays Brady looks really cute on his IMDb page. He has like these beautiful hazel eyes.
But
he
what?
Looks
do you
adorable.
Think they like full on like gave him prosthesis for this show? Like that's still him. It's just
like a
how
face
this,
prosthesis. Like,
he went full on maestro for this role. Like that's still him.
He went full elephant man. So Carrie and Aiden have this really weird exchange. Don't you think their exchange at the furniture is like, I'm your booth bitch. Like, yeah,
it's all catchphrases. They don't talk to each other. They only do cute. Oh, I don't like how they communicate.
I'm going to stay here and polish your wood.
Yeah, it's all like euphemisms and...
That sounds good, baby.
Yeah.
I'm
your booth bitch, right? Yeah. And she's always has like an ironic snack.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a lollipop or something. Like, are you guys... Or like they're eating a Twizzler. Like, why aren't you communicating like adults? Like, he should be nervous. He's like, no joking. This is my livelihood.
Yeah, please take it seriously.
If you fucking embarrass me right now, Carrie, you're done.
please don't put your body parts on my armoire.
On my buffet.
on my
that
credenza.
That you could go to Urban Barn and get for
on my $8,000 credenza.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, so we kind of talked about Steve. So Steve's looking for an apartment.
Yeah, and it's depressing as shit. And then he's like...
It's super depressing.
He's getting like hookup calls and Miranda has to field them.
Yeah, so he's getting hookup calls to Miranda's apartment?
Like, that's not true. Although cell phones would have solved so many of these dilemmas for them.
Like, they would have had cell phones. It's 2000.
I know, but like... Almost all of the dilemma here is all answering machine drama.
It is. It is.
It's kind of hard to rewatch because you're like, if you just had a cell phone and texting.
Yeah. So there'd be no drama here.
T9 predicative text. It was actually really good.
Well, I was just thinking that because we were on a ski trip and I was like, man, because we're on a WhatsApp group for our ski trip because it's a really big hill that we were on. Ooh. And I was like, it would have been bonkers if we did this 20 years ago. Like we would be, people would be lost.
You
we'd
just have a lot hours. More alone time.
Yeah, you'd be waiting in the lodge.
You'd be waiting you'd be having a tailored hot chocolate from the woman who gave up her career in the big city to open up that hot chocolate shop.
Exactly. And married the guy who only wears flannel, different variations, flannel underwear, flannel
the one who stayed
jacket.
Back and never. Exactly. Yeah.
Who has more meaning because he's made a heteronormative life decision.
And he makes handmade skis still.
Yep. He makes handmade skis that no one buys because they suck. You actually they don't want not, a wooden
they,
ski.
They are not safe.
They are not safe. You will hurt yourself.
Don't put those on.
No, please don't. Please don't. And good thing she's a lawyer because then if they sue, because, she like, can protect him.
This man has some serious lawsuits against him, so he needs you.
Like Gwyneth Paltrow was not happy with him.
Gwyneth, I hate her now from that, how she just is so dismissive of that man.
Well.
But it was obviously he was just trying to get money, right?
Yeah.
I would have done the same. I would have faked some injuries.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's an easy target.
She really is. I just unsubscribed to Goop and I unsubscribed to her podcast because it is. I was one of the first subscribers of the Goop newsletter.
Do you know why? I know that because you told me to subscribe.
And I've never opened one. My inbox would be like, are you still sure you want to receive this Goop newsletter? And I'm like, yep. One day I will read them.
I stopped reading them. They're just so pretentious. They're
pretentious. I like their gift guides. But okay, now I digress. Who cares about Miranda and Steve? They're moving on.
They're moving on. And yeah, it's super. I think it's really disrespectful, though, that Steve, he's already sleeping with someone else. And he's living in Miranda's apartment.
And an airhead exec? Who is that woman?
Yeah, and they kept referring to her as the woman exec. Like, couldn't she
the lady boss.
Yeah, couldn't she just be an exec? Like, her gender somehow.
She's a woman exec.
her vagina dictates. Yeah, it's a very fine distinction.
And then we have Samantha, funky spunk.
So Samantha's dating Bobby Cannavo.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah, he's cute. I love his, and his young super, Bobby. His thick eyebrows.
Yes, and his bum.
He's married to Rose McGowan.
Yeah. Like he did well. He did very well. I think Rose McGowan.
He's good. He's had an interesting career because he's a character actor. He's not really like a leading man, I would say. Can you think of like a
yeah.
Like what sort of leading man?
Remember when he was on Will and Grace? I thought that was one of the most delightful roles.
I don't even remember him from Will and Grace.
He was Will's boyfriend that Will couldn't commit to.
I should watch Will and Grace again.
Yeah, Matt and I went back and watched all of it, and it was a delight from start to finish. It was a delight. So good.
That's a good idea. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He's been in a shit ton. He's been in so much. But it's a lot of it is like guest starring roles, you know? That's kind of been his...
He's famous,
I guess he was on Third Watch, I guess.
Yeah.
He is famous, for sure. He is he's a ton of credits.
Yeah. Did Samantha make him taste his own...
Yes. Sunk? So this is the
That's
story.
Good. That's good.
So he has really, I guess she says it tastes like putrid asparagus with Clorox bleach. It's disgusting.
It's so accurate.
Yeah. And so she tries to get him to drink wheatgrass shots. And his response to the wheatgrass shots are hilarious, considering how Erewhon people will pay like $50 for a shot now.
I know. Right? I thought the wheatgrass, like, this is like just when that starts getting to be buzzy and everyone's starting to do raw. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, oh, I'm going to drink that.
Like, and she's like, oh, if you only knew.
And then he wants to have another blowjob. And she's like, oh, I just don't really feel like it tonight. And he was like, oh, I get it. You're like a blowjob tease. You just only do it twice. Like, what's the big deal?
I'm like, and if I know Samantha, she is not a blowjob tease.
No, there she's some not a real blowjob problems. Tease. She says this spunk is too funky. And then her face, he's like,
oh, it's so funny.
I know. And then she explains why, like, they don't call it a job for nothing. Like, it's actually hard work. And so here's the deal she proposes to him, which I was like, wow, this is
cutting edge.
Interesting. Cutting so edge. She says, if he samples his own spunk and he doesn't have a problem with it, then she will give him a blowjob.
Oh.
And he does. Do you remember that movie? Do you remember that movie Short Bus?
Oh, yeah. That was a crazy movie.
He like gives himself a blowjob.
Yeah, that was a crazy movie. Like, that would not be made again. With what's her name? The VJ from Canada?
Yeah. I can't remember her name.
That was very, very crazy. That movie was a real relic. Okay.
Anyways, if you want to see like a weird, a sexually very
short
weird
bus, you can see that. It's
Canadian.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Experimental film.
So he eats his own spunk and he's like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Every guy is interested though.
Really? Every guy wants to taste their own spunk?
Mm-hmm. Well, they want, the goal is if they could shoot it into their own mouth.
What? What are you talking about?
Ask Snapper.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like a good virile goal would be masturbating and being able to like in your own eye, right?
What? What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a gold star standard. And
can someone please validate that, listener?
Well, you don't trust. We have no male listeners. I don't think so.
Actually, one of my brother-in-laws loves it.
No.
Yeah. He loves it.
I'm surprised.
He thinks we're funny. Think.
When I see our demo breakdown, he's probably one of the only two or three men. okay, so then we have Trey and Charlotte and Bunny. They meet. It's a wasp. It's a wasp and summit.
Bunny is fully chain smoking in this club.
In this club. And that was okay at that time, I guess.
But it also made me kind of want a cigarette because I was like, she made it look so elegant.
And her Chanel and her, you know, that old lady hair, but it's long and pulled back like in a chignon.
But she also looks kind of masculine. You know, she's like an Angelica Houston.
She actually just died a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, she did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Frances Sternhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's funny. She's funny in it.
And yeah. And like Charlotte notices, and this is like the thing, like she notices Bunny sensually caress Trey's arm every time she wants him to do something that she wants instead. And instead of being like, this is weird, she's like, I can use that. So she tries it out at dinner and he's like, I'm going to have the arugula salad. And for some reason, she's like, why don't you try the tomato and basil?
It's sweeter.
It's sweeter. And then that tomato and basil comes to the table and it is just an undressed, unadorned piece of tomato.
Slab of beefsteak. And he's like, oh, it's perfect. It's you're just a gem. You're a true gem. And she's like, well, then maybe we should just get married. And she puts her hand on his wrist and he says,
all righty. It's like, oh.
And then they're engaged.
How sad would that be? How sad is that?
It's weird.
Except when he suggests getting her a beautiful, nice ring at Tiffany. That's happy.
Did you?
My ring is Tiffany.
Is it? I was going to ask you. Let me see it.
It's a simple. It's a simple Tiffany. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like, it's not a blingy Tiffany band.
You know? I don't really wear jewelry. So
I think a wedding ring is beautiful. You wear a wedding ring, right?
Well, so I have an engagement ring. It's like a solitaire because that's, you know, that was the thing. And then I have a band with like little diamonds on it. I don't. Mm-hmm. And then I have my grandma's wedding ring, which I sometimes wear. And then I have this like white gold, like chunky ring that I got for my graduation that I actually kind of like. It's like I'm into the chunk. It's like a really thick.
Yeah, chunky is in right now.
It has an aquamarine on it because that's my birthstone.
Oh,
and so I've been wearing that. I just like my friend Julie has this really cool vintage wedding ring that was her grandma's. That's a really thick gold band, like this thick. Do you see how thick my fingers are?
Oh, and it's real gold.
It's gold. It's that thick. So what's that like? How big is that?
I don't know. Half an inch.
Three quarters of an inch. And then it has a diamond thick. In the center. It has a diamond in the center.
Oh, I like that. I like
it's
that.
It's so cool. And I'm so covetous of it.
What's that setting called, actually? Oh, sorry.
Yep. What is that setting? It's like a band. It's, yeah, it's like a really
and it's
thick...
inset kind of like in there. Yeah, it's...
It sits out a little bit, actually. Oh, it does. It's not inset. It's so cool. And it's vintage. Like, it's her grandma's. Mm. So I love it. I mean, Saf and I are 12 years in. So I don't know. Maybe I'll... I don't wear a lot of jewelry because my fingers, I have like small hands.
Oh my God. Actually, so do I.
You have small hands. My fingers swell. Like when I run, my fingers swell. When I'm like, go from
hot to
cold.
So it's very uncomfortable to have a ring that.
My fingers will be like really narrow and then it'll slip off and then I'll go for a run and they'll swell, you know? So it's like, I don't know. That's my complaint.
You know what I was going to say? You know what I think the most chic thing that you could get right now and go and get it?
What?
That classic Tiffany heart pendant on a little band.
My niece has one. It's like a little, I think it might be white gold. My mom bought it for her. It's on a silver chain.
Is that not the cutest thing you've ever seen?
It is so... Every time I see it, I'm like, Mark, you look amazing. It's this tiny little heart with little diamonds. Tiny, tiny, right? Very petite.
Very petite.
It's so beautiful.
I love that. I'm so into the Tiffany hearts. Like Elsa Peretti, all that stuff. Like Paloma Picasso, any of their hearts from Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay, anyways. Well,
and then we're moving on to Carrie. Oh, my God. Oh, Carrie. They're at the design. Carrie and Aiden are at the new designer showcase for his illustrious company called The Furniture Company.
Furniture Company? Have you heard of Furniture Company?
What's his furniture company called? Furniture Company. No, yeah. What's it called, though? Furniture Company.
Furniture Company. So Carrie runs into Big and Natasha. Natasha looks... She looks beautiful. She's wearing a white dress.
I'm sure it's Ralph Lauren.
It looks beautiful. She's so tall.
She is beautiful. Independently wealthy, that actress, by the way.
Is she?
Yes, she's very wealthy.
Bridget Monahan?
She's like worth like $150 million or something.
Why? Yeah. Is it family money?
I think so. You know, like Julia Louise Dreyfus, like her dad is like a billionaire, multi-billionaire. It's one of those situations, I think. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, because Tom Brady is her ex. Do you think that's why?
Who? Is it really?
Bridget. Yeah, she's a kid with him.
Oh, I think that's what it is. It's not family money. It's divorce money. Well, just like Big, where he's like, you know what, Carrie, I've done... Okay, we'll get there. Where he did the math. Oh my God, it's just unnerving. Okay.
Hey, do you know that Rosie O'Donnell is her cousin?
What? Did you get two Wikipedia pages mixed up?
No, Bridget Monahan. I can kind of see it.
I can't see it. Okay, so I can't see it. And they're talking in catchphrases. Carrie sees Big and she stops, drops, and rolls. She acts such an idiot.
Yeah, she's ridiculous. And then Big gets drunk and is like, comes over, puts his glass on Aiden's hutch.
And then calls Aiden Daniel Boone, which is just so dismissive. Yep. It's so rude. Oh, God, I hate it.
And then he says that Natasha's waiting, bidding on a beige chair. My whole apartment's beige. And Carrie says, I thought you wanted beige.
Oh, I'm like, are we talking about beige anymore?
Wait a second.
Are we still talking about interior design?
Is that a metaphor? And then Big tells Carrie that he's getting out of his marriage. It's over. It's not working. Ugh, yeah. I hate
and
him.
And he, not only that, but he rolls up some fucking big horn, like from a pamphlet, and yeah. yells at Sinister. It's Sinister. There's like an energy, like there's some crazy paper and a weird tension. He's like, it's over.
Not do you know anyone who's interested. And we're like, do not disrespect that catalog like that, Mr. Big. Like, I will look at that catalog on the toilet later.
I subscribed to that catalog because I wanted it from J. Crew.
Exactly.
I wanted the lens end. Yeah.
Don't put your lips on it. And then Carrie's shaken by this. And all of her friends are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why is he telling you this?
Yeah, exactly. And
Miranda says she would have punched him. And Carrie says it was too sad. Ugh, I don't like it.
This is when you lose your audience. Like, you lose your friends in this moment. And you make them pore over the minutiae of this relationship too much. You're losing them. You have to do better.
Yeah, remember she makes Miranda listen to this voicemail that
as they're eating for her. Twizzlers.
Yeah, it does look kind of fun though.
Well, no, I like that. I actually really like the idea of like them pouring over it, but I think she's losing her audience at that moment. Well,
so on the voicemail, Big says to forget about what he said because he thought about it and the divorce is going to cost him a lot. That's the reason?
He's been crunching the goddamn numbers and this isn't going to go. And she's like, fuck, I knew it. Like, he's a numbers guy. He's a money man.
That blew my brain.
I have to say, I usually really appreciate when Carrie's writing and she's thinking about her article. And this was one of the worst I've ever heard, though. Carrie's like, it is scientifically proven that women use the left more emotional side of their brain. Men use the right, more logical side of the brain. And I'm not so sure that's
proven by who? Dr. Phil?
Like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, like, series of books.
Remember when we used to think we only use 10% of our brain?
We don't. I'm still thinking, I still think that. And I'm like, there's still room for improvement. I might get to 11.
We use our entire brain.
Really?
All the time.
I thought we still... I thought we were truly using just a fraction.
No, we use our entire brains. It's stupid. It's since been disproven.
And that whole thing of like, I'm a right side person, I'm a left brain. Like, that's got to be all debunked by now.
Oh, God. It's...
Carrie's like, I'm not sure the science adds up.
Yeah. It's stupid. Because it's like... Okay, so there's no significant evidence to suggest that we only use 10 or any other specific or limited percentage of our brains. On the contrary, all existing data shows that we use 100% of our brains.
Carrie. Carrie, don't stick to the arts. Don't do the sciences.
Don't do the sciences.
Don't do the sciences in this article. Because you're
just repeating stupid
myths. Like, this is just myths. This is perpetuating things that aren't proven.
So Charlotte's dress, when she ends up at Tiffany, she's wearing that like that blue backless dress with the bow. It's so pretty. What is that? Do you think that's Ralph Lauren?
That could be Prada or Ralph Lauren. Because I think
it's beautiful.
I think they dress Charlotte in a lot of Prada.
Do you think?
Prada, Burberry, Ralph Lauren. Yeah, I think so.
Very tailored.
Very tailored, very simple, minimal, very rich, you know?
Yeah.
The styling for her is excellent. And I'm loving headbands. I'm loving the look of a wide headband pushing your hair. That would look good with your curly hair.
I do wear a lot of headbands.
Go get a Burberry one.
I'm not going to spend money on that. I'll just go to like...
I got my sister-in-law a Burberry headband. I think because of Sex and the City for Christmas once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I hope she still has it.
I think just go to... What's that one? What's that really cheap one?
Ardain?
Yeah.
Don't!
I like Gardein for headbands. Okay, so what else has happened? I have low battery. My phone's
How low? Okay, let's just keep going.
20%. So Aiden offers to redo Carrie's apartment, and she's an absolute bitch about it, which you already think that she's justified in. I do not.
Well, all her clothes, I don't know, all that sawdust clothes, and it just doesn't seem like it's well planned.
Okay, I guess. Fair. And, but then we also know why, in just like that, why Aiden doesn't want to go back to that apartment, because she breaks his heart in it.
So many times. So many times.
Ugh, it's awful. So Carrie goes to a hotel to work because she can't concentrate. Yep. And lo and behold, who shows up?
You know, in that cut
seriously,
jump.
Seriously, who shows up?
Well, Big shows up.
I'm just kidding,
remember that that one time when it's Miranda. Okay, who shows up and you think it's going to be Big? Gosh, yeah. I was wishing it could have been Miranda this time, because he is so. He's insistent. He's forceful.
He doesn't take no almost for violent.
An it's all exactly. And she's like, no, it's that classic. No, no, no.
Exactly. Well, no, yeah, but I, no, but means no, I mean,
right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Like that whole thing. Like, oh, when a woman says no, she might mean yes. She really means yes. It's passion.
Because it's so romantic.
It's romantic.
He follows her into the elevator after he tells her that he was an asshole on the phone. Mm-hmm. He got nervous when he told her he was leaving Natasha and she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, what? He kisses. He said he made a mistake. He kisses her and he says he loves her. Yep. Now, after he's been married for 7 months.
Honestly.
And then they have sex in the hotel room and it's gross.
It's so gross. And God, I hated it. And she's saying, like, my mind was yelling how angry it was. But it was her heart.
Ugh.
No, that's not how this works. Like, fucking get it together. You're 34.
Exactly.
Actually, Steve's 34.
I was just, I don't know.
Get it together.
Get it together. And I just think that if you want to be with someone else.
Do it right.
Then be with someone else.
Just, you can break up. You are an adult.
Exactly.
You can do it every one.
Break up.
You
break
can do up. It the right way.
Yeah.
And that goes for
there's
anyone.
There's no excuse for this.
Anywhere.
There's no excuse for this.
There's a pattern. There's a specific type of process that you go through to do things right when you're an adult. And that means having a conversation, maybe breaking up, doing a hard thing, and maybe risking your happiness in your future.
There's no excuse to cheat on someone.
So bad. So bad. And she said at the very end, and just like that, I lost my head.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
But she looks pleased lying in the hotel bed.
I mean, she's there. It can't feel good though. It can't feel good.
Ugh.
Oh, Carrie. But this does propel. This is the whole reason. This is the rest of the show, right? This is the most important moment. It's her cheating on Aiden that propels us forward for all the subsequent plot lines and the drama and the tension and whatever else happens to Carrie. It's the defining moment of her life.
And just like that.
And in exactly, right? So there's a lot
this
of...
This moment.
The more I watch this original show, the more I appreciate how much research they did for In Just Like That to draw back, to make these foreshadowing moments mean something in the original show. So serious. So
bravo.
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 Can you watch it and tell us, like, if someone has a different perspective of this, I'd love to hear it. Cause it just made me, I think when I first watched this, it was kind of like titillating, like, ooh, I understand. It's the passion.
Cause but that's now what we're programmed. It. Yeah. Like we're at, the, you know, it's, you're programmed to think that.
And I understand this. It's a trope, right? Like, this is a popular TV trope. This moves the plot line forward is cheating. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't have any patience for it. It's like you break up. You don't string Aiden along. Why does she string Aiden along? It makes no sense.
I actually don't know. Well, I think because he's such a nice guy. Do you know what
I
mean?
Why? Like. We just gotta watch the next episode and find out.
It's on.
Well, I'm excited because season 3 is when it gets juicy.
It's getting better and better and better. So stick with us. Follow us on Instagram and just like what pod. Like, subscribe, download, review our pod wherever you listen to it. It means so much to us, and hearing from you is so awesome.
We love to hear what you think. Like, tell us what you think. Give us your hot takes. We love it.
We will maybe read them on air if we remember. Because we kind of don't do anything we promise.
Anyways,
you can actually even call in. Okay, yes. Have a good week, everyone.
Call, if people want to call in, oh my God, I love it. You can
leave us a voice note.
We will play it,
probably.
But as long as it's not like, y'all are lame.
Well, I did get one voice note that was like basically correcting our grammar. I should play that one.
What?
It was so specific in its intention. It was very specific. But I don't want to belittle someone who, you know, call in. Like, we're not going to use call that in. Against you.
No. I mean, and maybe our grammar was wrong. I do say y'all, but it's because I like to have a gender neutral acknowledgement of exactly. How I refer to people.
It's because we're woke. Okay, bye everyone.
Have a great week. That was fun.